Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We knew that bit, didn't we? We just learnt it.
Yeah.
And then it goes on, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And then the last couple of verses, they illustrate what it looks like to be a father. And that's particularly what we're focusing on this morning. The fact that as we come to God, we address him as Father. And so verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray, and then we'll turn back to God's word. Our Father in heaven, we're encouraged here to ask for you to give the Holy Spirit. And so we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to give us understanding of your word, to plant your truth down deep in us, that it would bear fruit, and that as we turn to this part of your word, you would show us Christ, please. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, has anyone ever been to the White House? Anyone been to the White House? No, nor have I. But I've seen enough movies to know that the White House is one of the most heavily guarded buildings on the planet. So you've got the big fences, you've got heavy gates, you've got an armed guard. You can't just wander into the White House. Of course not. The President of the United States is perhaps the most powerful man in the universe. Not everyone can have access to him. There's a lovely photo of John F. Kennedy. You may have seen this photo. He was a president of the United States. And this photo shows him working at his desk in the Oval Office, in the White House. He's in the middle of a fortress. Access to him is heavily restricted. But in this photo, you can see the desk. And in the desk, there's a little door. And the door is slightly open. And peeping round the door is the face of a small child. It's the president's son. While everyone else is kept at a distance, John Jr. can play at the feet of the most powerful man in the world. Why? It's because he's family. His access is not restricted. Now, in the school of asking, which is where we are for the next few weeks. In the school of asking, Jesus teaches us an amazing truth about our relationship with the God of the universe. Look what Jesus says in verse 2. He said to his disciples, when you pray, say, Father. One word, but it's a huge word. Through Jesus, we have a family relationship with God. That's the big truth. That's the one thing that I want us to dwell on today. And isn't it an amazing thing? Through Jesus, we have a family relationship with not the President of the United States, but the God of the universe. I think a lot of our struggles with prayer, and I think we'd all admit that prayer is a struggle often. I think a lot of that comes from the fact that we often forget this amazing truth that God, the God of the universe, as we come to Him through Jesus the Son, is Father. If we get a hold of this morning, I'm sure it will transform the way that we pray. We don't just come as servants to a mighty King. We come as little children running into the presence of a loving Father. Now, lots of us are probably familiar with that idea. But for the people of Jesus' time, this is something which is a radically new way of thinking. The fact that as we pray, we ask the Father. You see, Jesus' disciples, they were Jews. They grew up with the Old Testament, what we have in the first part of our Bible. And so the way that they learned about their relationship with God was through the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God is very rarely described as Father. It does happen on a few occasions. I think it's about 15 in total. But 15 in the whole of the Old Testament is not a huge amount. This isn't how God's people would normally talk to their God. But then you get to the New Testament, the second part of our Bible, and there's a massive shift. 15 times in the Old Testament. Anyone want to guess how many times in the Gospels, just in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, how many times? I'll tell you, 165. A massive shift, 15, 165. There's a huge change, and you see it not just in the Gospels, but throughout the rest of the New Testament. This is one of the biggest ways that Christians refer to God. They come to Him as Father. They have a family relationship. So why is there this sudden change between Old Testament and New Testament? It's because of Jesus. Jesus is the Son. He's not physically the Son of God. It's not that Jesus was created after God the Father. No, the Bible teaches us that the Father, Son and Spirit have always lived together as one God. But the relationship between the first and the second persons of the Trinity, the best way that's described is as a family relationship. Father, Son. And here's what happened. The Father loved the world. That means He loved us so much that He sent His Son so that we could be brought into the family. You know how in families there's often a family likeness. And you can kind of tell that people are related. That, you know, he's got your massive nose, Luke. Or he's got, you know, she's got your eyes. And that's one of the first things that you ask, isn't it, when a baby's born. It's kind of like, you know, who does she look like? You can often tell if someone's got a family likeness. And it's the same with us. If we were to take a mirror and look at ourselves, we can see a family likeness which shows who our Father is. And here's the thing. It's not God. We are not born into His family. The Bible tells us a shocking truth, that naturally our father is the devil. And actually, as we look in the mirror of God's word, and as we see into our hearts, we know that that's true, don't we? We don't reflect the pure goodness of God, but rather we do what is wrong. We hate what we should love, and we love what we should hate. We don't reflect the pure goodness of God. And because we do what is wrong, that puts us outside of God's family. We look nothing like Him. But there are two ways that you can join a family, aren't there? The most frequent one is by birth. But also you can join a family by adoption. And God the Father, He sent Jesus the Son so that we could join the family. Through His death on the cross, Jesus dealt with the problem of our hearts. And so as we trust in Him, our sins are forgiven and we are adopted into the family of God. That's how it's possible to know God as Father. And if you're not yet one of God's family, then it's crucial that you hear this. It's great that you're here this morning. And I know that there's some of us here who probably as of yet have not trusted the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And if that's you, then I have to tell you, you don't have the privilege of calling God Father. You're not in His family. But the wonderful promise is that if today If right now you admit your wrongdoing before God, if you trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins, then he will sign the adoption papers. He'll say, welcome into the family. You can call me Father. If you haven't yet done that, I urge you. It's the most wonderful relationship that there is. Through Jesus the Son, Christians have a family relationship with God the Father. It's a wonderful truth. And when Jesus came to earth, he was the one who revealed that truth in all of its fullness. And so that's why the New Testament is jam-packed full of references to God as Father. But we mustn't ignore the role of the Spirit in this. So look down at verse 13 with me. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who... That's not what it says, is it? It says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Why are we encouraged to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit? Here's why. We need the Holy Spirit to enable us to pray as part of the family. Without the help of the Spirit, we are unable to pray to God as our Father. The Bible tells us that it's the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that we cry out, Abba, Father. Our hearts are like out-of-tune instruments. And it's the Holy Spirit who tunes our hearts to pray in line with the Father's will. It's the Spirit who gives us the very real sense that we are part of the family. That's what the Bible says. It's the Spirit who helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray. It's him who turns our groans into effective prayer. You see, without the Spirit, we cannot pray as members of God's family. And with him, we can. Now, this is something that's really challenged me this week. I often ask for the Spirit's help in understanding his word, the Bible. I ask for the Spirit's help in making me more like Jesus. That's one of his roles as well. But how often do we ask for the Spirit to help us pray as children of God? Not often enough, I don't think. But according to Jesus, we should. It's only by the Spirit that we can pray as children of God. So one thing to take away, if you're a child of God, if you're someone who's trusting Jesus this morning, then can I encourage you to ask for the Spirit's help when you pray? I'm sure that will make a big difference in our prayer lives. If we're going to pray to the Father, we rely on the Spirit as we come through the Son. As learners of Jesus, we have a family relationship with God. And so I just want to dwell on that. That's the big thing. It's up on the screen behind me. That's the big thing that we're learning today, that we can ask the Father as a family relationship with God. And I just want to dig down and see why that's so wonderful, and particular, what it means for us in prayer. And the first thing is this. Two things. The first thing, because we come to a Father, we ask dependently. If God is our Father, that means we're the children. And the thing about children is that they're dependent. They rely on their parents, even for the most basic things in life. So look at verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Of course you won't. Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion. What does the son ask for? He asks for an Xbox One. And season tickets to the mighty Tottenham Hotspur. He doesn't, does he? He asks for an egg and a fish. These are basic things. They're just kind of basic foodstuffs around at the time. They're the kind of things that you need to be able to live. Nothing fancy. It's like asking for a piece of bread and a glass of water. And the thing about kids is that they depend on their parents for the bare necessities of life. They say that... I wouldn't know, but they say that being a mother is the hardest job in the world. Why is that? I'm sure lots of you could give me plenty of reasons. I'm not going to invite responses from the floor for the sake of the children who are sitting here this morning. But basically, it boils down to the fact that children are really needy. They need almost continual care and attention. You can't have a minute off, almost. It's not a personal thing, don't worry. That's what they do. They need continual care. They're dependent. Children are dependent on their parents. They're limited in what they can do for themselves. And I think that's why they're so good at asking. Can I have that? Can you buy me this? Can you give me a lift? And it's the same for us as we come as children to our Father in prayer. We rely on God for the bare necessities of life. We're small. Our power is very limited. But He's big. And so it's a wonderful thing to be able to ask dependently. It takes a lot of the pressure off, actually. As we ask, as we come to God in prayer, we don't have to have all the answers. We're not God's advisors. I think sometimes that's how we think about praying. I watched a documentary the other day about a really interesting documentary about stuff that happens underground in London. There's all sorts of things that happen underground in London. One of the things is the Churchill War Rooms. Has anyone been to the Churchill War Rooms? You can go and visit them. John has. He'll know all about it. He can correct all my mistakes. But in the Churchill War Rooms, this is where Churchill sat and made decisions in the war. And the most important room has a big table in it and lots of seats that line the table on all sides. In the middle is Churchill's chair. I'm talking, by the way, about the British Prime Minister, not the bulldog that sells insurance. Okay? Just to clarify. But anyway, here's the Prime Minister, and he was the big dog, though, because he was the one who would make the decisions. But all around him, around the table, were various advisors from the army, the navy, from various other places. They would give him all the information that he needed to be able to make the right decision. And sometimes that's how we think about a prayer. As we come to our God in prayer, we kind of think, I'm giving him new information that he doesn't yet know. And as I give him some new information, I kind of need to lay out the options before him and advise him which way he should do. We don't come as God's advisors. We're his children. And that's a very different kind of relationship. Just watch what happens after the meeting when one of the kids who's running around outside falls over. It always happens every week, so just wait for it to happen. And watch what happens. When the child falls over, what do? They run to one of their parents and they say, Mummy, Daddy, they say, I've got a sore knee, I fell over. Daddy, I fell over. Daddy, I've got a sore arm. What are they doing? They're not trying to tell their parents what to do. They're simply coming into their presence because they want to be with them, they want to be comforted by them, and they want to spill their heart to them. It's a very different kind of relationship, and that's the privilege of having a family relationship. That's what it's like to come as a child to a father who loves us. I think we can learn a lot from the way that children ask. Not all of the time. Sometimes it's not very nice. But there's something lovely about how simple it is. Look at the verse again, verse 11. The son, he needs a fish, so he asks for a fish. He needs an egg, so he asks for an egg. There's no mucking around. Children ask without shame, without pride. They're not afraid to ask, and they're not afraid to keep on asking and asking and asking and asking. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I know this one boy called Josh. It's not your Josh. Don't worry. It's a different boy called Josh. He's a lovely little lad. He's about 5 or 6 years old. And he just loves asking questions. He just doesn't stop asking questions. He just enjoys life. He's very interested in what's going on about him. So he asks and he asks and he asks and he asks. But the lovely thing is, if it was an adult, it would be really annoying. But the lovely thing is that his dad is patient. His dad is kind. And his dad always takes the opportunity to listen to what he's saying and to give him an answer. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And that's the kind of relationship that we have with God our Father. You can never ask him too much. You know, the devil would love to stifle our prayers by making us feel like we're talking too much. You can't ask again. You know, God's done you a massive favour by saving you. So if you want to ask him something, you're going to have to store up a bit of credit before you can talk to him again. Especially if it's just a small thing. It's like, why are you bothering God with that? It doesn't matter. Pull your own weight. Do it yourself. You don't have to ask God about everything. That's not the way it is. He's not like a busy boss at work whose time is too precious for the likes of little old you. He's a loving father who loves to hear his children pray. We can never ask too much. Through Jesus the Son, we can call God Father. And Jesus says, so ask dependently. But the second thing this passage calls us to do is to ask confidently. We ask dependently, but we can also have great confidence that a good God gives good gifts. A good God gives good gifts. It's a little bit like a tongue twister. Let's wake ourselves up by giving that a go. Can you say it after me? A good God gives good gifts. I'm not sure anyone got that right. A good God gives good gifts.
A good God gives good gifts.
Okay, that's good. That's the one thing that I want us to remember. It will give us confidence to pray because a good God gives good gifts. Jesus wants us to know that as we come to our Father, we can be confident that he is a good Father. Today happens to be Father's Day, which is appropriate. Father's Day is an opportunity for us to say thank you to our dads for all that they do for us, for their love and their care. But each of us will have different experiences of that. Some will have good experiences, others of us not so much. Some of us have lost our dads or never knew him. But whoever we are, I'm sure all of us would love to have this kind of relationship with a father who cares for us, who listens to us, someone who we can go and ask stuff, someone who loves us as his precious child. Maybe part of you thinks, I'd love to have a father like that. I'd love to have a good father. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, you do. Look how Jesus explains it again in verse 11 to 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? That's stupidity. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. It's unthinkable. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you see the point? Even human dads who are infected with the evil selfishness of sin, even we know how to give good gifts. If your son asks you for something good, something that he needs for life, like an egg or fish, you're not going to give him something dangerous like a scorpion or a snake. If your daughter asks for a nice, refreshing drink of water this afternoon on a hot day, you're not going to say, here we go, have a nice ice-cold glass of poison. You just don't do it. It would be unthinkable. Even with our twisted hearts, we are capable of giving good things to those who ask. And so Jesus says, if that's you and you're evil, then how much more will God give you good gifts? Someone who doesn't have a twisted heart, who isn't infected with evil, who never does what is bad or wrong, how much more will he give what is good to his children that he loves? We have a good, good father. Again, it can be hard to think of God as a father, because that image is always going to be shaped by our own experience of fathers. And perhaps for you that is a painful thing. And even those of us who've had good role models, actually our dads aren't perfect, and we've seen that up close and personal. But our God is different. He is only good all of the time. And the devil doesn't want us to realize that. He wants to deceive us into thinking that's not true. His tactic is to try and convince us that God is, for whatever reason, withholding good from us. That he's restricting good. That's the trick that he played in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve when they sinned for the first time. What did he say? He says, God's holding out on you. He doesn't want what's best for you. You should do this instead. And Jesus says, that's not true. God is good. And a good God gives good gifts. Now, of course, that doesn't mean he'll give us everything that we ask for. Like any good father, he knows what's best and what's good for us. And that might not be exactly the same thing that his children ask for. When we ask for a litre of ice cream, he might say, no, that's not going to do you good. But when he says no to things, he's not killing our joy. He does what is good for us. The good God gives good gifts. He gives us the best gift of all, the gift of the life-giving Holy Spirit, without whom we can't know God, and without whom we can't pray as the family of God. A good God gives good gifts. And can you see the confidence that gives us as we come to pray? We are not coming to a dad who might snap if he's in a bad mood. We're not coming to a dad who's lost his patience because that's the fourth time you've interrupted him today. We're not coming to a dad who's just too busy to talk right now. God is good. And so as we run into his presence, he's got a big beaming smile. He's got his arms open wide. He's saying, it's great to see you. Come and talk with me. Ask confidently because the Father is good. And if we get a hold of this, we'll long to spend time in his presence. Perhaps you think of prayer a little bit like talking to the lonely old man down the road. You know, he keeps asking you to come and talk to him, and you feel like it's probably the good thing to do, but you're not really sure it's a good use of your time. It's not really making any difference. It feels like a bit of a waste. Or maybe you think of your relationship with God in prayer a bit more like a barista who serves you coffee at the coffee shop. You're friendly enough. You kind of start with a bit of small talk. But basically, you're there to get the coffee. It's about what you get out of the relationship. A barista is there to serve me coffee. God is there to give me the things that I need. As long as I've got something to give him in return, then hopefully he'll give me what I want. And I can even have a little loyalty card as well. So if I rack up enough credit on my loyalty card, then I can ask for something a bit extra special. Is that how you think of prayer? What about if we realise that God is a Father, a good Father, who loves to hear his children pray? Jesus says, ask confidently because God is good. But we're not just confident of his character, we can be confident in his power. It's that classic playground boast. My dad's bigger than your dad. My dad's cooler than your dad. My dad could beat your dad up. The kids have this wonderful belief that their dad is essentially Superman. Dad can run really fast. He can lift heavy things. He can fix anything that's broken. He can do all my homework. He can open any jar. Dad can do anything. If you want to impress someone, then your kids is a good place to start. But it's not true, is it? Believe it or not, I have limitations. Just don't tell Zach about them. But we do, don't we? We feel our limitations. And actually, we don't need to be told, because often it's very close to the surface. We feel our weakness, that when there's something that we'd love to change, but we can't. Where there's something we'd love to control, but we can't. When family members get sick, when we lose a job, when a friendship breaks down, and all manner of other things. We often feel the limit to our power. There are some things that we can't do anything about. But not with our God. Look again at verse 13. How is our Father described? Our Father in heaven. Heaven is his home. He lives and rules from a place of power and authority. So can you see the confidence that gives us as we come to our Father in prayer? He's not only a God who wants to give us what is good, he is a God who is able to give us what is good, because nothing is outside of his control. No breath spent in prayer is a breath wasted. The Father in heaven is the one with all power and all authority. And so Jesus says, when you pray, pray Father. What an awesome privilege that is. It's like being John F. Kennedy's son playing in the desk at the White House. We have unrestricted access to the God of the universe. And if we get a hold of this, if it sinks down into our head, into our heart, it will transform our prayer lives. Jesus says, because of me, because of my death and resurrection, you can be adopted into the family. You can come to the God of the whole universe and call him Father, welcomed and loved, brought near to the one who is good, the one who is powerful, the one who loves to give good gifts, and who loves to hear his children pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven now, and let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you for the immense privilege it is to be able to call you our Father. It's something we're so used to saying as we pray. But what a wonderful thing it is. We praise you for Jesus the Son, the one who lived and died and rose again so that we might be adopted into the family as we trust in him. Please would you help us to pray as part of the family. We ask for your Spirit's help to help us pray in line with the Father's will, to pray with the sense that we really are children of God coming to a loving Father. Forgive us for when we forget that's who you are. Would you thrill us with this truth this week so that we love spending time in your presence? And we ask it so that Jesus might be glorified in our lives. And we ask it in his name. Amen.